All right. Good day. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to a new podcast here in 2024. I probably have another month or two's worth of shows still in the tank. It's been a busy end of 2023 coming into this year. But guess what? Our tagline has not changed. We are here to fuel your health, your business, and your lifestyle. That's why I love to hunt down, or if they hunt me down, amazing new guest co-hosts for you all, especially the newer listeners, after just realizing this, almost 8 years of running this show. So we've had on people from all walks of life, right? Doctors, PhDs, MDs, functional medicine experts, yoga experts, entrepreneurs of all walks of life, authors, speakers, you name it. I love to combine these three domains of crucial success. It's ensured my success, and it's helped me help other people with their own successes. So there might be a theme of the show. This gentleman I'm bringing on today understands that. He's got some backstories that's going to be intertwined in. I happened to check out some of their YouTube videos and also just researched him and his wife's information while I was on vacation last week as I'm recording this, skiing in Colorado, getting some lifestyle balance, but it's not about me. It's about them. They have an intention here, people, of advocating for women to stop focusing on the number. I literally had this discussion 2 weeks ago as we were packing for our ski trip. We actually still own a scale. I'm going to incorporate that into this guy's background because I forgot we had one. Because as a former personal trainer, spinning instructor, USSA ski race coach, CrossFit trainer in my life, I've always added this into my life. And I've always thrown the scale out. I don't look at it. I care about inches. I care about how you feel. I care about removing inflammation from the body. They get this. I mean, just when I tell you who's on the show here, you'll get it, right? They care about movement. They care about rest. They care about that deeper connection and intention into health and wellness and lifestyle balance. Their whole company is rooted on it. I mean, it's attention, movement, community, beliefs, right? All of these things we kind of overlook and let shoot right past us when we start hustling and bustling and getting after it. And obviously, we do target a lot of entrepreneurial spirit in this shows too, but this goes for the W-2. This goes for the people trying to work their way up the corporate ladder like I used to do back in the day. So we don't want to overshadow these important pieces. And that's what this gentleman is here to talk about today. So without further ado, Tyler Bramlett, and obviously, your wife not missing out, Katie, welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us, or me today, oh, yeah. Right?
Well, you know, family, kids, running a successful company, I'm just happy
it's to have a lot. One of you, you know? yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot every week, but we manage it, so.
Yeah, so yeah. Obviously, real quick, ladies and gentlemen, you may have seen it on social media. They got a decent following. This is Tyler from WeShape.com. And I'm not kidding. Like, I'm actually home. I'm going to screen share right away because I forgot to take a peek before I started the show today, just how your following is doing. So obviously, WeShape.com, great, simple URL. As a sales and marketing consultant, I love it. But dude, Instagram, you got over 300,000 followers. YouTube, you got over 951,000 subscribers. You got 1,200 videos available. That's just two media platforms, besides obviously the website, whatever goes on through the membership, the app, everything else. You guys have been busy.
Yeah, we've been busy for sure. Yeah, no, I'm super happy with all the success we've had with WeShape. You know, just a little tidbit of backstory. Kate and I have been in the health and fitness industry for a very long time. About 20 years each, and starting in local gyms and doing personal training and a lot of the stuff that normal, you know, most people would do. And then, you know, we had a brick and mortar for a while that really helped a lot of people. And then we decided to go online. And, you know, at first it was like this mission of just like, how do we show up and help people learn how to move their bodies and feel better in their bodies and all this different stuff. And then we started becoming more successful at that. And then we're like, well, let's sell cookbooks and let's sell supplements and let's do all this other stuff. And we found ourselves, you know, a handful of years ago, like incredibly successful, beyond what most people's Instagram dreams would be. And both of us were not happy with what we were doing. We just weren't. We were like, why are we doing all this work to like sell more stuff to more people and all this stuff? And so we both kind of sat down and said like, okay, let's pretend we got nothing from what we're about to do. What would we really want to offer the world? How would we really want to show up? And what would we want them, you know, these customers, these people to experience and have at the end of it. And I come from a more of a movement based background. And my goal was like, hey, how do like we help people really connect with their bodies and learn to move their bodies better? My statement you'll see on our social media is when you move your body better, you feel better in your body. Right. And what I know is that that makes a huge difference. It creates intrinsic motivation to continue rather than the extrinsic motivation based on your looks and things like that. So I came from that perspective, and Katie came from the opposite perspective. She said, you know what? I'm so sick of the media and the magazines making me feel like inadequate and telling me I have to go do this thing or I have to do this diet or whatever to show up for it. And so we kind of took our missions and kind of rolled them together and said, hey, how do we help people show up for their workouts as an act of self-care rather than as an act of self-judgment? And then how do we give them the tools to go from unconsciously working out? I call it mindlessly exercising. It's the hammering away on the treadmill while you're watching an episode of Oprah, hitting the machines and not really dropping into your body or really experiencing movement. How do you actually learn how to mindfully move your body from the intention of wanting to care for your body, not from the intention of wanting to change the way you look so you can get external validation and feel good about yourself? Right. So that's kind of how we got to here.
I love you just kicked it right off with all of that. It's kind of, it totally overlaps. I always like to incorporate in I'm a busy person. I got a lot going on. You got a lot going on. A lot of our listeners have a lot going on. And so no joke, only a couple months ago, I hosted an event here at my property spontaneously. We got this property like almost 3 years ago, and the last owner had just built like a modern metal style pole barn on it, but not for animals. Mm. For him to store his snowmobiles, I think, or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, like my wife was looking at the property. She's like, hey, if we buy that house, that's your new man zone. And I was like,
yeah.
Oh, well, that could be okay.
So, she's got your number, doesn't she? She gets it.
And my wife understands wellness from a different perspective. So she's a very well-educated, for great schools, equine horse veterinary doctor. And then she also went and studied chiropractic care for animals. Every time I tell people that, they were like, you can chiropractically adjust a horse? I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I
feel oh, yes, you can.
Yes, you can. And she obviously helps dogs and stuff, too. So it's just – anyway, the point of that was just like – so about a month or so ago, I was like, you know, I go to these massive conferences, right? Entrepreneur. I go to these big mindful events. I've been, you know, the Tony Robbins stuff. I've been to all these things. And there's nothing ever happening here in Pennsylvania. And then I was like, you know, there's a lot of guys I've had on this show over the years that actually live not far from me. So and then I was there was a recent event here in Allentown, Pennsylvania, where I reside. And we're only an hour from Philly, hour and a half from New York City. So I said, hey, let me just contact these dudes and say, hey, man, I want you guys to come to the house. We're just going to hang out in the barn and shoot the shit, right? But there's one theme. And I'm calling it men of mindset. And I'm only bringing this up because obviously, you know, the primary demographic of WeShape is women, right? I'm not wrong on that.
Yeah.
But here's why I did that. Women are great at getting together, coming together for each other, bonding. I mean, again, I ran spinning classes for 3 years. What do you think most of my population of my classes were? Women.
Sure.
Six o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning. Those girls can hustle. Girls in my morning classes, I was very impressed. This is before I went on to my corporate job. I did this. People are like, why are you so high energy every day? And I was managing call centers. I had 30, 40 person employee teams and everything. And I was like, well, I already have my morning cup of coffee on the bike. They're like, what? I was like, yeah, I run an intense spinning class at 6 o'clock in the morning. Like, I don't need coffee, you know?
Gets you fired up all day long, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And then I would go hop on my road bike at night and go ride with my buddies, right? And like, while riding bikes, men seem to be able to chat when you pull off or hydrate, or you're on a quiet road and you could safely run abreast, like, you know, wide. But in like high city areas, you can't do that. But that's, I haven't experienced enough of that. And I decided to bring these dudes. So it was six of us hanging out in my barn. I had the heaters going. They're in my gym. Garage Bay One is a whole CrossFit gym that I built because I used to train in CrossFit too. And I just wanted a functional space, you know. And they're like, no one's ever invited me to something like this. So I cooked everybody dinner. We hung out down. And at the end, we did a lot of stuff offline. But then I said, all right, guys, I got mics laying here. So I just aired this show on this podcast. It's like, it's live now. To roll into 2024 was the first show I wanted to air. It was an hour and a half long. And we just all at the end of the night grabbed the mics and just talked about mindfulness, right? And the lessons learned. And these are guys are high paid speakers, entrepreneurs, gym owners, even a realty dude. But every man sitting here was strong, fit. They target their health and fitness in different ways, but each of them I have watched over the years or learned along with them their growth into the mindfulness. And it's not always about just putting the reps in the gym. That's why I wanted to bring that up quick because what you just said, it just made me feel good about this event. And now like already three of them are like, hey man, are we going to start doing this like, you know, I don't know, quarterly basis? Like I was like, Okay. I don't know. Guys, this is meant to be fun and inspirational. I don't know yet. Let's see where that goes. But you're one of the first people to hear about this live on the air. It was meant to be fun, but also because men suck at it. I that's how I just sum it up. I think
it's horrible. Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah.
Women are just naturally more spiritual, more emotional, just beings. And us guys, we think it's a tough guy thing and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, no, you know what? Let the walls down and come to
you.
So that's why I did it. But
I'm so happy you're talking about this. No, it's all good. I'm happy you're talking about this because regardless of a man, woman, whatever you identify as, I think that there's a humongous lack in community. And I do agree that women tend to be better at this. But I also think that if you surround yourself with people who are all stuck in the same toxic mindset, that you can complain and stay circulating in that mindset, right? And it's interesting to me. One of the things that we discovered early on about community was it is one of the greatest predictors to overall longevity, right? In fact, I think it was Wendy Suzuki, who's a neuroscientist, that said that it was the number one predictor of longevity is the amount of positive connections you have with other people. And this doesn't have to be super deep connections with everybody around you. It can be positive interactions with the barista at your local coffee shop, et cetera. And like, this is something that we brought into WeShape with a really strong vigor was how do we bring somebody in who wants to get a workout that is tailored to them and learn how to move their bodies better so they feel better in their body. And then when they get there, how do we connect them with people and teach them how to set intentions from a pure place so that when they say, wait a second, I have been stuck in this toxic weight loss culture that's telling me I should feel crappy about myself. And they don't realize, here's the thing, Scott, they don't realize this. If people lose 100 pounds, 99 out of 100 of the people that lose 100 pounds still hate themselves after they lose 100 pounds.
I've
seen it. We've done it. Yeah. And you lose that weight and you still feel horrible about yourself.
And I remind, I used to remind them all the time, like, guys, you're doing great, right? We're fixing the kitchen. Kitchen's a big part of it, right? You know this.
Yeah.
Right? You can put all the reps into the gym you want, but if you're living an inflammatory life, what we just said there, it's not just the kitchen, it's your cortisol levels, it's your stress, it's the mental impacts. All of these manifest throughout the body and trigger inflammatory responses, taking on water weight, right? So if you're working on all of these things, maybe through your system, for example, you're slowly helping release the stress, hopefully, right? With the right community, right support. And then the physical result will come, right? Exercise, one of my former clients, he's pretty well known in the health and fitness space. You probably have heard of him. Vinny Tortorich. You ever hear of him?
Okay.
He was one of the first personal trainers to the stars in LA. Like before personal trainers was a thing, because he's in his 60s now. Like he was one of the early dudes who had left Louisiana, moved to Los Angeles, and was just training all the famous people. And he owns the trademark NSNG. No sugar, no grains, removing those inflammatory components out of your life. And that's his whole career. Now he's released 3 documentary films in the past like 6-7 years. He's got a viral podcast called Fitness Confidential that we've rebranded after his successful book that's been out for years, right? And it's just, even he says this, he goes, guys, kitchen, major trigger for obviously weight loss and weight gain, right? But the gym, you know, the physical fitness component, that is your fountain of youth. But then he always is talking about that positive mindset as well. Like we're talking about here is like, yeah, you can go to, you can be working out in a gym and be surrounded by negativity. Let's be real about that, which is annoying.
For sure.
Because when I was in training, I always looked at the gym as like a high energy, right? Positive environment, because, and I hate to bring up a negative subject, but like these shootings and everything else, right? Like when people go work out, you're high on life. You should be happy when you end your workout. Now, granted, I don't know what's going on in your personal life, your home life. Some people go to the gym just to try and counteract it, but you still got to deal with those demons. But I truly believe if you're putting your physical fitness up there, it's going to help you deal with the mental and psychological demons. And that's what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah, I think there's this that aspect too, but I almost rewind even a step back, right?
Yeah.
When you ask a lot of people, why do they go to the gym? They're always going to say, because I want to lose weight, right? And I feel like this is something I've become really aware of. It's funny because Katie was the one who came, you know, with this intention as a business was how do we change people? How do we bring awareness to this toxic weight loss culture we're stuck in, which is like, do this crash diet, do this workout, do this whatever, and you'll lose weight and you'll feel better about yourself. And we just said it like a little bit ago, you'll lose weight, but you won't feel better about yourself. right? And then obviously a lot of people fail at those things, a huge percentage, more than 90% of people end up failing at these things. So why is this happening in the first place, right? It's because we're coming with the wrong intentions. If you show up for your workouts and you say to yourself, you're fat slob and I hate you and you're disgusting, let's go work out so you can lose weight. Well, guess what? 1 out of 1,000 people is going to be mean enough to themselves that that's going to stick and they're going to end up being, you know, fit and stuff like that, right? Why do I know that? I'm one of those people who was cruel enough to himself to be able to give himself the motivation to go from being an overweight kid who had no experience in health to being really fit in several ways. But here's the thing, 999 out of 1,000 people, they're going to get started on the journey and then they're going to believe their internal self-talk. And that's going to change their ability to show up for themselves. And that's going to make them self-sabotage and fail. Yeah, right?
I agree.
If you believe that you're not worthy, then you will become not worthy. You will act in accordance with that belief. And so what we do at WeShape is we try to peel back those layers and we try to say, hey, you are worth it. You're worth taking care of, right? Yeah. Your body, this is one body you get. It's the only body you ever get. And if you don't have strength, flexibility, balance, and coordination, you're eventually going to start to feel really lousy in your body. And it will happen no matter what as you age, unless you prioritize learning how to move your body the way it was meant to move. And if you can come from that deeper intention, I deserve to care for my body, then you don't need motivation. You found intrinsic inspiration to be able to show up for your workout routines. And I've seen this happen now since we've been going for the last couple of years. People just come to us and they're like, I can't believe I could never be consistent with anything. I would, you know, start a challenge or this or whatever and start and fail and start and fail and start and fail. And like, now I just show up and do 2 workouts a week and engage with the community for support when I need it. And I'm like consistent. And as you know, like one of the most important things is consistency, absolutely, right? But it's so hard for people to do without having solid, clear intentions.
Well, I mean, let's align. I'll align personally on that. Like, I just got back from a big ski vacation, right? I haven't actually been in my gym in over a week, but I'm still 190 pounds, 6'4". Just got back earlier from a 90-minute deep. This is a very targeted massage therapist who's, I just wanted working on the lower back. She's very good at just targeting those traumatic areas. Like, dude, you ski 100,000 feet in like six days. It's going to put a wear and tear on certain areas of the body, right? But I've spent years learning about all these things, right? So I have 2 different massage therapists, right? One is just good for everything. The other one's going to use her for targeting. That's what we did today. And she works with my chiropractor, right? So I was at my chiropractor on Friday. I went in for my wife months ago got me a pedi. I was like, well, I haven't done one of those in a while. And the one she got it at was this new salon. They're very good with Asian techniques, right? Deep tissue into the nerve endings of the foot and everything else. So I wasn't going there to get my nails painted. I was going there for, hey man, yeah, work on those lower legs. It was so I went from chiro to pedi to then today was the massage. I feel like $1 million, right? This is that self-care.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't gained weight or lost weight because I don't even know because I don't have a scale. I know, like, obviously, if I was on vacation, we're having some nice dinners. Maybe I'll have a couple glasses of wine throughout the vacation or something like that. Not everybody wants to drink. I do a little bit. But then I know I'm so lean and in shape that I can feel when I feel inflamed. But 20 years ago, I wouldn't have known that. Right? That's education. That's knowledge over time. That's learning more about your body. I'll be 47 this year. I look better than people I know in their 30s. And it's not about self. I mean, it is a little bit of self-love. I believe in myself, like you're saying, right? That self-belief. But when I used to train, and I love translating the way you said all this, I made it simple years ago for me. I said, because I dual majored in psychology, so I had an unfair advantage in school. And I came out of that, and I was like, what is your why? I use this in business consultation, and I definitely talk about this when I'm talking with friends and colleagues or when I had that men of mindset night. You know, why start that company? Why get into a weight loss program? Why become a triathlete? And if it's externally focused, which is what you're talking about here, you're gonna have some failures, right? Because I can't
not enough to carry you through.
Right. Like, you're a parent. Yeah. My wife and I are parents. We're puppy lovers, right? So we have a 4-legged child. So the point is like, I can't say that I'm going to do it for my child or my wife. Yes, that's important. They're a part of my life. And there is a percentage of that. But my why, that's got to be so deeply rooted that when the going gets tough, when you hit the speed bumps, you hit the walls, because you're going to hit them. You're gonna fall right over. You're going to leap right over them. I've done Spartan races, right? Climb over, whatever you want to connect that on. it's going to get hard. And if you, again, yeah. you don't know my whole background, but I served as a hotshot wildland firefighter out west with the U.S. Forest Service. That was my flip of the switch when I left the corporate life. And then before entrepreneurship, I was like, what am I going to do? And I'm like, I need a reset. I went and lived in the mountains, not showering for 2 weeks, wielding chainsaws, fighting wildfires all over the West as a hotshot. So I put a, that's what my book's about. And that was some walls, right? That was some bumps. And that was mental game. Why am I here to do this? It was to dig deeper into myself. It was to learn more about myself, yeah. where I was going to go in life. I didn't care about the next career path yet. I was there to learn and get deep with myself. It was very spiritual. I figured out later. In the beginning, it was like, ooh, adventure career. Yeah, let's go risk your life and have some crazy fun. But it got deep, man. And because that question that I always ask people for years, why, it got to get thrown right back on myself. And I got so much growth out of that. Awesome.
I feel like I got a way to tie this together that's interesting. So first of all, when we say intention in the WeShape community, we use whys as well. And we teach people how to ask that repetitively. So they go from these superficial goals to more meaningful things that are more intrinsically valued. But when I heard you talk from self-care to, you know, like changing your career path to showing up and challenging yourself, right? Underneath all of this, right, is a sense of connectedness to self and willingness to try things and show up for those things, right? And I think so many people are so locked into their lifestyle. They're locked into their family, their job, their whatever, and they just get, boom, they put on the blinders and they stick in that little cube and that's all they end up doing. And they're disconnected from themselves. That's why we talk about movement and not exercise. I don't believe in exercise. I believe in movement, right? We have to learn what it feels like to move the body the way it was meant to move it certain ways. When we do that, the head reconnects to the body, and the body is what's going to send you those signals that say, hey, I'm worth taking care of. Hey, I have a little tweak right here. Wait a second. If I go to the massage therapist, it gets fixed. Hey, I've got some tightness right here. Hey, if I do these stretches I learned, it starts to feel better. And as we start to connect with our body and show up for those messages in this way that goes up and down, all of a sudden we start to develop a more pure sense of who we are. And we start to be willing to go out there and experiment. And like so many people just, they fail because they believe they're a failure. Right. If I start a program trying to lose 20 pounds and I don't lose that 20 pounds and I go, I failed, I'm a failure. Well, then guess what? You will act in accordance with your beliefs, like we just said. Right. But if you start a program and you miss a week, like you said, you miss a week of working out and then you come back to your gym and you start working out again, you don't beat yourself up. No. You don't beat yourself up because you're like, it's not the weeks that matter. It's the years that matter. Right. And I think that's something we also try to offer people at WeShape is like, hey, we want you to do 2 workouts a week. And sometimes you can't even do 2 workouts a week, right? But let's not do this whole 5 days a week, hours a day thing. Like if you can't build consistency around 2 days a week, you haven't taken the first step.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like building that consistency and then giving yourself grace when it doesn't work out the way you want it to. Like I was supposed to have my partner on this call with me, right? But she's at home with our kids because we found out they both have COVID this morning. So, you know, like life happens. Yeah. Life happens, right? It's going to happen. And like, and you just adapted, tying that back into the community piece.
And you overcame.
Yeah. And tying that back into the community piece is this, right? Like life happens and it's difficult. And a lot of us, when we start to struggle, especially when we start to struggle in that box we create for ourselves, right? We start to think that we're alone. And one of the things that I've come to realize more than anything else is when we host these big, we call them feel good challenges. We host these every like 6 weeks. Cool. And we bring people from our community together. We host this feel good challenge. And the goal is just to get people rallied up and consistent. We go over these topics of intention, movement, beliefs, community with them, really dive deep into them. And it really changes a lot of people's lives. And what's really interesting to me about these challenges is that when people come together in a community and one person's willing to raise their hand and share like, hey, I'm really struggling with this because of this reason. I think it comes from my childhood wounds here and this and that. All of a sudden you see like 100 people on the call go, oh, and they start to relax. And you go, oh, it's because they realize they're not alone. Every one of us is struggling, right? It's who we lean on and what we do with those struggles that makes our life, not the struggles. Our life is not supposed to be struggle-free.
It's interesting. Right? I love where we're going here because, and I know you're vibing here because obviously you guys have WeShape. So back in my head, I got to get these thoughts out because that's why we're co-hosting together. But it's like, you know, for example, why did CrossFit do so well? And I remind people all the time that it's just a brand of the bigger umbrella of functional fitness, right? And not all CrossFit facilities are doing everything the same way. I have friends of mine that own them here. I used to train at them. One thing I see as a success is what you just said earlier, the community aspect. A lot of these, some people call them cultish. Here's my thing. If you're in a cult, aka a CrossFit gym, and you're coming out of it with new friendships, you're happier. It gets you to go 3, 4. Some of these people are going 7 days a week. They're doing different things, but like they just love going there that much. Maybe it's a, I mean, I used to be that guy. Now I have my, I built my own gym. And now I, when I travel, I like to drop in at random facilities if I need a place to train, or I do it at the hotel.
Sure.
I'm at that point in my life where I can make it happen whenever I want, wherever I want. But when I was younger, sure, I was looking for that, right? I was single. I was alone. You know what? I'm going to focus on me for a while. I'm going to get into yoga. I'm going to train people in CrossFit, right? There was that community element. And now fast forward to today, me and my wife, she's like, you know, when we were dating, you're always going here, there, and everywhere. And she's like, you don't do it as much. I'm like, well, I do in a different way, right? That's why I love podcasting, right? That's why I love connecting with people like you. I'm reaching a whole different level of playing field in my, for me, that I thrive off of. I tell people all the time, I podcast for the audience, but I really podcast for me. I love connecting with people like you guys, because there's a community alignment happening virtually. And I think this is where technology helps. Right. But then we've got the social medias, the negative news networks. It's so easy nowadays in a first world country like the US, for example, or I have people in Europe to listen to this, Australia, Canada, doesn't matter. It's so easy to be bombarded by the negative stuff thanks to technology. So it's even more important that you remind yourself that community is important, because the basic fundamentals of the human body, the human spirit, we went back 100 years. We didn't have this technology. We were so much better at getting to know our neighbors. When I bought this house, I had
custom. Absolutely.
It was during COVID. Ergo, overpay, because it was a crazy time when everything's locked down and everybody wants to buy and move and everything else. But I had little mailer cards made up with our skiing wedding photo on it with our dog. And I put our contact numbers on the back, and I tracked down each and every neighbor's property that touches my woods. And then the next ring. And I contacted my realtor. I'm like, hey, how do I know who this person is? And I got their names, and I mailed it to them saying, hi, we're your new neighbor. I know these are weird times, but if you want to give me a call, give me a text, get to know us, I'm happy to connect. Now, obviously, that whole COVID thing transitioned. Now, I've met with every single person over the past couple of years. We've either hung out, grilled together. I know every single person touching my land. That's weird. My wife was like, why are you sending cards? Like, that's weird. She's like, why do you have to get to know everybody? And I was like,
that's strange. Yeah.
So my own wife is like, she's like, that's just kind of weird. And I said, okay, well, I'm 5 years older than you. I believe in picking up the phone and calling somebody. She'd rather text, right? I don't care. It's just stay in touch with people. Connect with people. Let them know they're not some weirdo next door. They recognize our faces. They have our phone numbers. What if an emergency happens? Which has come in handy multiple times now. I'm the tree savior guy. Like, somebody's tree blocks their driveway from a windstorm. Hey, former wildland firefighter Scott is a surgeon with a chainsaw. I'm just going to give him a call, right? Little things like that, you know? Hey, it's wintertime. Neighbor Bill up the hill has a plow truck. Now he plows my driveway for free because I help him salt. Like, I never asked for these things. They just naturally started happening. But if you could take that same energy, that same connectivity, like you guys are doing, apply it into your day-to-day life, health, wellness, mindset, lifestyle. Oh, my God. I mean, that's the community aspect that we're all missing.
You mentioned some great things there, man. I mean, I'll be the first to say that I think a lot of technology is going to be looked at a decade from now and say, wow, what were we doing? Right. I certainly think that while I'm gotten really good at, while I've gotten really good at using social media and whatnot to spread a positive message, I still personally don't use it, which is hilarious to me. I've got 3.5 million followers. I mean, by all accounts, I'm an influencer, but I don't go on social media at all myself. I just find there's better things to do with my time.
So
that's the thing, is like, when we talk about community, right? Like, I think it's great to have these social media things to link up, but like, if you're not having a two-way conversation, if you're not looking at somebody while they're talking right now, and that's great. Like, we're looking at each other, we're talking right now, we're having this conversation, we're connecting, right? That connection is absolutely essential. And I'm going to go back to what we said earlier. You were connected to yourself, so you took risks to figure out more about yourself. And most people don't take those risks. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think community is so important. If I take a risk, I need to know that if I fall apart, somebody's going to hold me through that. Mm-hmm. And if I don't have people who can meet me in that, who can be vulnerable, who can support me, who can look at me when I think I'm a failure and say, you just had a hard day, right? Yep. If you don't have that community, you can't take risks. If you can't take risks, you can't change.
You can't grow.
Right? You can't grow. It's the fundamentals of personal growth is being willing to try new things and take risks and recognize that a lot of them, they're not gonna work. They're gonna feel like a failure, right? Yeah. It's scary, right? And so having people around you who you can go in and say like, hey, I know that this toxic weight loss culture is surrounding me. And I walked past the mirror today and I found myself for like 10 minutes. And then I cried about it because I feel like I can't get stuck, like get my head out of this. To be able to come to like a live call, like at WeShape, we do live calls twice a day, every day. Some of them are about sharing vulnerability and connecting. Some of them are about movement and teaching people to move better, et cetera. But like coming to a call like that and sharing that vulnerability and then having everybody hold you through that, oh my God, powerful. It's invaluable. It's so essential, right? People got to get away from consuming content and into connection, right?
I love where you're on this because the vibe is there. That's why I love bringing on co-hosts like you, dude, because it's like this weekend, my wife had one of her old college friends come to visit. They stayed over. We took the kids skiing, right? And I haven't seen her or her husband. And I can't remember which one came first. I think it was their wedding and then our wedding, but we were at each other's weddings and that was it. My wedding, we did heli skiing in Banff, Canada in the Canadian Rockies, right? Their wedding was some ridiculously pricey, expensive thing outside of New York City, blah, blah, blah. But having them in my house, unplugged, I learned they don't like technology. The kids have never been on an iPhone. They're young. They don't have a TV in their flat in New York City. And the families have money in the background. I'm like, oh, this is intriguing, right? They're driving a used Lexus when they pulled into the, like, these families have money. But it's like, oh, this is very cool. I love seeing this. And then I find out her husband is a health nut like me. He's already been texting me audiobooks and podcasts like all morning. He's like, dude, it was so great getting to know that I think you might be crazier than I am. He's like, but send me some stuff that you've used over the years. Cause like I have challenged myself. Like I skydive for fun. People are like, I can't believe you skydive. Like he's never gone skydiving. He now wants to go skydiving with me because I'm somebody that he now knows that has done it. We've built the relationship a little stronger, even just over 3 days of just, you know, cooking them meals, taking their kids skiing, coming together as long distance friendships, maybe building that a little bit stronger. And now he knows I'm somebody that he could probably count on for those extra risky extracurricular activities, right? I'm the adrenaline junkie. But now I know more about him and his business background and where he comes from. And that's that coming together. And that's just two dudes who happens to have wives that were college best friends, right? Now, to your point, take that to a bigger scale. Why do people have to be afraid of something as simple as a skydive? What's the obvious response we always hear? When something is too scary, fight or flight kicks in. The average response to me is, I could never do that.
Yeah, I hear it a lot, right? For sure.
Like the gym, or like, wait, you want me to commit to some type of physical exercise every 2 days? I don't even do that now. And then I see these people, because I've had guys on the show, I'm sure you've heard of 75 Hard. Right.
Yeah.
I got a buddy of mine that I've been podcasting with years. He and I wrote our books together. Right. We were in a motivational group to get us to the finish line to get the books done. He's done 75 hard, but each time he goes to start it again, he fails 2 to 3 times for consistency before then doing it. And I remind people all the time, the point of 75 hard was not the daily exercise. They require daily exercise, right? That's part of the programming. But the whole point is to break that mental game. Right. To build, like you said, build the consistency, build the habit. But that's so hardcore. I love how you guys just start off saying, dude, just try two, just 2 days a week. If you're going from zero to two, that's not a huge leap. It is possible.
It's not.
But people still struggle.
People struggle with that. But again, I think this comes down to that self-worth. And that's, I think, where we can really differentiate ourselves as a brand is that WeShape isn't focused on like body transformation and losing weight and all this different stuff, right? Like we're trying to, and here's the thing, when we bring to someone's attention that, hey, look at all the magazines and all the internet stuff, everything is basically making you feel shitty about yourself, right? Yeah, exactly. We're shaping a new way. We're trying to change the way we're approaching this, okay? All that stuff out there is making you feel shitty so that you buy their stuff, right?
That's true.
I want people to soak in on that so that you buy their stuff.
As a sales and marketing guy, yes, I know that, right? It's about connecting.
You know that. You know
that.
The end sale. Yeah. Yeah. And at the end of the day, what do you really need to connect with yourself and experience improvements in your health, right? It's like, show up for yourself because you feel like you're worth it. Be consistent with your workouts, right? And take care of yourself. Like, look at the sides of yourself. You know how much negative self-talk most people have, Scott?
Oh my God.
This is something I get to learn. I do live calls. I get to do live calls with our members to do these challenges where I host calls. We had a call just the other day with 750 people on the call, on a live call. And we asked those people to share about, you know, where they're at with their journey. And so many people are like, I didn't even realize that every day I walk past the mirror and I hate myself. And that I was using that as fuel to motivate me to go work out. And then when I went and worked out, I was doing mindless exercise, right? And like you mentioned CrossFit earlier, I love a lot of what CrossFit tried to do. I'm actually living in Santa Cruz. I used to work next to the original CrossFit gym. So I know a lot of these guys, right?
That's old school.
And I've been through a lot with some of these guys as well who are really deep in the community. And it's an amazing stab at teaching functional fitness in a really interesting way. The only thing I didn't like about it was is that some people treat it so much as a competitive system. And when you compete too much, you disconnect from yourself.
I agree.
I tell my kids all the time, comparison is the root of suffering, right? So connect with yourself, not connect with having to beat others so that you can elevate your intrinsic value more, right? And again, like this is such a subtle thing, but once somebody sees it, they can't unsee it. And the only thing left to do at that point then is walk past the mirror, realize that you're about to or just hated on yourself and start building new habits.
Yeah.
Appreciate yourself. Throw down three appreciations for yourself when you walk past that mirror. And then when you go to do your workout and you think to yourself, oh, I don't want to do my workout today. I'm feeling too X, Y, and Z. Either give yourself grace and just let it go, or go, well, actually, am I not working out because I'm not valuing myself, right? Because like you said earlier, you said, when we work out, we feel good. Right. And when we feel good, we find motivation. And so that's what we're trying to get people to do. And like, again, I think it's so important for people to do things that feel comfortable to them, because most people are not going to be able to do the extreme stuff that you and I can do. They're just not. They need to start small and work their way up.
You'll love this, Tyler. Maybe I'll give you something for your profession. I'm a timeline guy. I've years ago, I was in project management, process and procedure and all this stuff. Right. And then I realized as I've grown the show and the people I've spoken to, and great people like you and your wife, it's like I started using a quote. I don't know where it came out of my head one day. I was like, you know, we're just all at a different place in the timeline. And what I'm referring to is life's timeline, right? And we may be born at different years, but in the end, we're progressing along a timeline. We can't go back. We can't change the past. Stop worrying about what we did yesterday. Dude, let's focus on today and moving forward. And what I found is motivation, right? All these motivational speakers. And I had a great guy on the show a few months back, and he said, motivation is the problem. And I'm like, ooh, where are you going with that, right? what's he going here? And he goes, motivation is powerful, but it is short-term mindset, just like the word diet.
Yeah.
So he's like, look at diet versus lifestyle, which is something I teach too, right? Diet, bad four-letter word. Automatically, thanks to poor marketing and everything else and magazine life, it has now triggered a short-term mindset. Crash diet this, crash diet that. What are you doing to impact your lifestyle, which is long-term, right? Lifestyle, long-term. So he goes back to motivation and he says, listen, motivation is great. When you need that short, you know, spit of fire, awesome. But he's like, you need to have the inspiration in yourself.
Go
the intrinsic long haul, right back to your intrinsic race. So I just figured I'd throw that at you because I was like,
No, that's big. And I want to go one step underneath it, right? Because again, I'm always going like, how do we get that one step deeper, right? The intentionality behind this whole thing, because, you know, we don't talk a lot about nutrition in the WeShape community because I feel like so much of it is prescriptive, which is inherently disconnecting from self, right? I can teach you movement because the body's meant to move a certain way. But the N equals one experiment in diet has pretty much failed us, you know, one size fits all is what I mean, right? It's failed us completely. So to me, with something like lifestyle versus diet versus like motivation and whatnot, underneath all this, I'm just going to keep saying it. It's connection to self, right? If you have a good connection to your body, and your head's not floating around up here, living in social media and stress land and all these other things, if you have a good connection to your body, when you eat something that feels good, you'll feel motivated. Yeah, connect to your beliefs, right? You'll feel motivated to continue eating that food. Mm-hmm. When you eat a food that feels bad for your body, you will feel unmotivated to continue eating that food. Yeah. And so what we've actually found interesting is that when we tell people, throw all the diets in the trash and just eat food and listen to your body, then all of a sudden people start making really good decisions. It's these polarities of like, you have to be my guru of nutrition or exercise or whatever. And like, everybody's looking for someone else to tell them how they should do this. Yeah. And one of the things I always say in our community is this: I don't want to be your guru. I want to teach you how to be your own guru.
Yep.
Right. I want you to show up and connect with your body. Yeah,
like,
right.
Even with all this technology, right? Like Tyler can't always be there. Like even when people are trying to, like, I learned a long time ago, don't coach or train your friends, because it's just like trying to help family. It's like beating your head against the wall. So I flipped my switch. I said, guys, you ever want to hear the science or the knowledge I've acquired thanks to this show and everything else that I study nonstop? Fine. Ask me. I'm going to give it to you, but then I don't have time to debate it, right? You're going to do whatever you want to do. You want to be a vegan? Go ahead. You want to be a carnivore? Go ahead. You're going to go down to keto. You want to go to KetoCon in Texas? Whatever your thing is, cool. If you think, if you're moving away from the sad standard American diet and the processed garbage, everything else, that's diet, fine. But I love your point. The mindset work, the psychological work, that is something that we personally have to take accountability for. You have to have a personal accountability in the investment in yourself. And back to your point, those beliefs and everything, right? Like I haven't used it in years, but when I was going through my own personal and professional development, I've gone through multiple rotations over the years. As you keep leveling up, you find better coaches, better communities, everything else. But I used to use a gratitude app. And every so often, I'll like pull that app up from years ago and just see if it's still alive and working. And I'll just go through and read a couple of things, but I don't need it anymore because it's part of my daily practice, right? Showing gratitude for what's going on, where I am, what I've achieved, right? This last ski trip, I'm so grateful that my wife and I have grown together and, you know, we're doing all right. It's like, hey, dude, I got to go ski in Aspen and Vail. Like when I was a kid or I was younger, I never imagined skiing in Aspen. And I'm like, okay, it was no big deal.
Yeah.
You know? Being appreciative of also having the health, the fitness, and the wellness to go hike over 12,000 feet and drop off of a peak on my skis down Double Black Diamonds that most people don't hike up that ridge in Aspen to go do, right? I was like, oh, I'm going to do that. And I have friends who are like, what is wrong with you? And I said, bro, it's cool. I said, we'll come back and we'll do it when you're ready because everybody's capable of doing this. You're just not ready today. It's okay. Let's get you there.
Yeah.
You know? I love that. I love that.
I think you said something big there that I want to highlight because I feel like I want people who are listening to just have that click moment, which is, I think, is big, you know, that light bulb moment, right? Why do you think you're able to do all these things in your life, right? Because you said take a personal accountability, things like that, right? You know, people can hear that and then, they, you know, whatever. But why do you think that you're able to do all these things?
I, through the self-work, and I found out that I am my own worst self-critic, right? So you talk about that whole personal, like,
right.
Look past the mirror, right? When you recognize that, it's kind of mind-blowing. Once it truly sets in, like even to this day, yeah, I battle it.
It really is.
I battle it.
It's really
like,
is.
Even my wife, she could tell that I start getting heated or I'm frustrated because I'm trying to remodel something. And don't get me wrong, I know when to hire a contractor. I got some guys working on the house on a project right now. But it's like, I love demo day, right? But I know that I am not going to lay that subway tile perfectly. And then if I screw up that grout line, I'm going to mess that up. Like, no. Know your limits, you know?
Yeah.
So like, I am my own worst self-critic. So once that clicked in, I realized that as I kept leveling up in life, I'm going to hit some stress points. I'm going to be frustrated because I want to just crush it and just get after it. And like, even after the firefighting, when I left Wild and Fire, I struggled for the first time in years. For that next couple of years, I wasn't connecting with people. I put this in my book. I wasn't connecting with my own family. I was trying to go back to Colorado. I had come back out here to help a friend start a company, but I wasn't happy because I wasn't living in the moment where I am today, where I'm at right here, right now. And then I had to go back into my self-work. And I'm like, oh, okay, wait a minute. I learned all of my crazy adrenaline junkie sports here in Pennsylvania. Yes, states like Colorado or going other places in the world, you get to take them to another level. It doesn't make that a better place. It just so happens that I was taking to another level when I was there. Why can I not take all that energy and mindset And now that I'm back here in Pennsylvania and level up other areas of my life with the same flow, right? It's just, that's that self-work. But that's just it. Once I realized for me anyway, that I am my own worst self-critic, I'm like, how do I flip that and use that for fuel for my fire? How do I use my, what I thought was a weakness and flip it into a strength? Flip the weakness to a
strength. This is, okay. You've gotten to exactly where I thought you'd go, right? Okay. Which is really simply this, right? If we look at the timeline, let's call it, or the spectrum of people, right? When people can't live the life that they want, and they look at someone else who's living the life that they want, the reason why is because you don't feel worth it. If you're not worthy of the life that you want to live, you will not act in accordance with that belief. If you feel worthy of the life you want to live, you will act in accordance of that belief. And what you said in between those two of hating yourself and actually appreciating yourself and being able to show up for yourself and give yourself grace and like, real, I can tell you like yourself, right? I think people think that's like an ego thing, right? Like, oh, it's an ego thing and like themselves. No, but self-love is where all this stuff comes from. Yeah. If you truly appreciate yourself, you walk past the mirror and you maybe struggle a little bit, but you struggle way less than almost anybody else out there. You go, you know what? I'm doing pretty damn good. I really appreciate my body. I appreciate my mind. I appreciate all the things I've shown up for, right? That becomes positive, inspirational, intrinsic fuel to continue your journey of growth towards the things that you want to accomplish in your life. And if you don't feel worth it, you will always become that,
yeah,
right? So for the people listening to this call, if you are not going the direction you want to go, or trending the direction you want to trend, I want to be clear about that trending, because patience is one of the hardest things to accept in this journey, is it is not a fast journey, right? You have to be patient and consistent with actions that will take you to that. But those actions will never be done if you can't pause and say, do I really feel like I'm worth it? Yeah. And if not, where do I don't feel like I'm worth it? And don't just dwell on those things, correct those beliefs. That's another thing we focus on at WeShape, is that you don't have to believe your beliefs. Most of them were given to you by people who are dead, mm-hmm. right? And most of them suck, right, and they're not giving you anything that you need to actually move forward in your life in the direction that you want to. So you can go back and you can say, wait a second, I'm showing up this way because of a belief I had. And if I look at that belief, it doesn't serve me, and you can let it go. And then you have to know that this is not a, I let it go and it's never happening again process. It's a, I'm going to let it go 1 out of 100 times, mm-hmm. and I'm going to fail 99 times. And then the next month, I'm going to let it go 70 out of 100 times, you know, or whatever. And it's going to slowly build over time, right? People need to understand that it's a consistency of anything that you're trying to change in yourself, even your belief systems, your intentions, whatever it may be. It's a slow process, but you got to have self-worth. Yep. If you don't have self-worth, or if you're not examining where you don't have self-worth or why you don't have self-worth and trying to correct those belief systems, then you'll never be able to move forward. Because the thing that I try to teach people right now is, no matter how you're showing up at WeShape right now, it doesn't matter if you're 400 pounds overweight, you've never done anything for yourself, you're just absolutely not showing up there. I go, hey, guess what? This is going to be a whole lot better for you if you recognize that you're worth it right now as you are.
Yeah.
And you start showing up from that place.
I love the simplicity of it, because it is true. I mean, you and I can talk about it as simplicity, but self-worth is literally a fundamental ingredient of all forms of success. And I think as human beings, it is in our nature, we always want to, I think, rise up. We want to get better at something or learn something new. Even those who are struggling with it, it's just naturally in us, right? I mean, look at us with inventing and technology and how far motor vehicles have come and planes, like all these things. And it's just like, it's just what our species is really, really good at, and sometimes really, really bad at. But the point is that, yeah, when the going gets tough, you fall back to your why, and technically you got to go fall back even, like you said, let's go even deeper than that. It's not even the why. If you still have your self-worth, you can have the worst day of your entire life, but that self-worth is still in there. Okay, all right, let me breathe through this. Maybe it's just sitting down,
Yeah. Recognizing
it's a bad day or it's a bad moment in my year, but okay, I still have that self-worth. I still know that sooner or later, I'm gonna rise over this, right? We're gonna work to it. Might not be today, might take 6 months, might take a year. I had a business fail years ago. It didn't go well. And I beat myself up about it. But it's like, okay, but now let's take the, it was an old quote, my old fire superintendent. He goes, guys, you're serving 16 hours a day in the mountains. Sometimes you don't get the shower for 2 weeks. And we do this day in and day out. and you're beating yourself into a physical point of exhaustion. So by the end of the fire season, you're literally not going to want to go do anything. You're just going to be beat to snot. But he goes, if you could take one thing that I teach you, is you got to take the good out of it. And I was like, ooh, I like that. He goes, seriously, he's like, every single day when you lay your head down on your bedroll in the woods, in the mountains, and you want to recharge for the next day of fighting fire, he goes, if you can't at least find one good thing that happened today, and he's like, sometimes you got to work at it. We have some bad days. He's like, you're not going to last. He's like, I don't care how strong you are, how fit you are. He's like, your mindset, your heart, you have to find a way to take the good out of the day, or else you're not going to last. You're going to carry that negative energy into the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and it's just going to grow like a cancer. He's like, you got to take the good out of it. And that just popped back in my head too. I'm like, man, this is...
It's big. Positivity and self-worth are trained. You're not born with this.
Nope.
In fact, what I'm trying to point out is that the media trains you out of this.
Oh, yeah.
It trains you towards negativity and towards self-hatred, right? That's what's actually happening here. And you said something powerful there a little bit ago. When we have good self-worth, when a hard day happens, it's a hard day. When we have low self-worth, when a hard day happens, it's a hard life, right? Yeah, and I think that people need to get out of that mindset. Yeah,
exactly.
To who you are, right? It's just one day. Yeah. It's just one day. Let it go.
And I think people. 64 more of the year, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You can think of this too. Like one of the things that I like to think about sometimes is the primary emotions, right? Love and fear. Hmm. And when we have self-worth, self-love, we're acting from that place, right? This is the purest place we can act from, is just showing up to serve others, to show up for ourselves and take care of ourselves and make sure that we're bringing positivity to the world. And the other one is, I'm worried that if I go do this thing, I'll be judged, I'll be criticized, I'll fail, I'll blah, 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 blah. Most of this is just bullshit. It's not real talking. It's just the crap that's stuck inside of your mind. And so I think one of the biggest things you can do is become aware of that and start to dismantle it, you know, and start to train that positivity.
And what you're hitting on, I mean, because we are coming towards the end of the show, it's perfect, because now we're just condensing everything we talked about, right, for this past almost hour. And what popped in my head there is, like, you have to simplify it. You have to. It's literally that simple. But just like, again, you guys don't teach people to go to the gym per se and here and do this repetition and this amount of sets, and we're not talking about your kitchen and are you doing two-a-days or OMAD. It's none of that. What we're talking about is learning to put in the mindset and the heart reps, right? You got to put in the reps, so to speak, right? So getting to the point where I'm at or you're at doesn't happen tomorrow. And you got to get past that. Oh my God.
It takes like 30 years of grinding and self-hatred. Yeah. And yeah, it's a lot.
It's like, okay. I mean, when I started, I always think that self-development was woo-woo. I mean, like, you know, whatever. And then like, that's only, God, no, I'm 40. I'll be 47. So that's maybe probably 20 years ago. So I've got 20 years of me just peeling the layers back and then letting the new knowledge in. Like, don't knock it till you try it, right? Just let it in. Like, first time I read and then watched the movie The Secret, right? The Law of Attraction, all that stuff, and quantum physics and crap. And I'm like, what the heck am I watching at my friend's house 20 years ago? And I thought he was crazy and woo-woo. And now I quote that book all the time to this day. There's still some weird stuff going on in there, but just the concepts, the mindset, right? The point of positive energy. What would you rather attract around you? Positive people with high energy and high performance, or negative energy with negative Nancys and stuff that's going to continue to hold you back from your potential, right? That goes back to your point, positivity. Even if you're having a bad hour, bad day, bad week, bad year, all right, you got to put that work in. You got to shut that out, right? Product of the five people you spend most time with, right? Jim Rohn quote or some. Okay, if you're surrounding yourself with negative people, might want to just change it up for a little while, or maybe forever, and just say, okay, well, who's my inner circle of trust? You know, my community.
And I can just add on top of that too, that beyond just positivity, because that feels so airy-fairy, like just make it all positive. Mm. Like in my own growth, as I went from fueled from self-hatred to purpose and more positivity, I feel like people need to be seen in their pain, right? So if somebody feels like they're not worthy, and you say, hey, just make it positive, like, it's not going to change. First, they need to say, I feel unworthy. And they need to say that from like the darkest parts of their soul. Right. And you need to look at them in the eyes and say, that's so hard. I'm so sorry that you don't feel worthy. And then you can say, but you are worthy. And we'll get you there one step at a time. Yeah. Right. So if we tell people to ignore those feelings of low self-worth, they never go away. I think we have to give people permission to share those feelings of low self-worth, like you talked about with these guys you brought out. Yeah. And I'm sure there was some honesty and vulnerability and connection.
Dude,
like
that's what community is. Tear up. We had one of the guys tear up, and he's a buff tattooed. Like, I was like, yes. Like, when I'm just sitting here, like,
I'm a buff tattooed guy, brother, and I cry all the time.
I got excited because I was just like, that's how I know the night was a success. And people are like, what? Wait, you got a guy to cry? Yeah. I'm like, no. He got himself to cry. I had nothing to do with it. We just reached such a level of comfort. It just among six men, you're in a safe haven. And then as each person is willing to go deeper and deeper, and some were deeper than others, it's letting everybody else's walls come down. And it goes back to the beginning of the show you're talking about, right? That community, right? Like, wait a minute, I'm not the only one. Or, oh my God, I thought my stuff was bad, but did you hear that? And then what did he just say? And just among six guys, the level of transparency that we achieved that night and the things, and this guy I'm talking about, I went to high school with this dude. I haven't seen him in 20 some years. Now he's a very successful real estate guy. And now he's tearing up in my barn. And I'm like, dude, I was so high that night. I was like, yes, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Because it's proof.
Yeah.
Men want to connect.
Yeah.
All human beings want to connect.
All human beings want to connect. And that's what I wanted to say with that. Like, it's so easy to just say positivity, but I think people need to be held through their pain. They need to be seen through their pain. I feel like they can't show up for themselves until somebody just validates that and says, yeah, that's hard. And yeah, your upbringing was rough and all of this stuff happened to you and you've made all these choices along the way. And that is so, I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. That must be really difficult. And comfort. Yeah. Let's do something different. And now let's do something different.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's what we need to help each other get to. And that was kind of like, maybe that's the theme of the show, like helping each other get to that point of vulnerability, the point of comfort, the point of realizing that positivity is not unattainable. And it's not just a flip of a switch. You are going to have to take some accountability. You're going to have to get a little bit more transparent, maybe a little bit deeper with yourself. And maybe it doesn't happen just with one-on-one, just with solo meditation. Everybody's like, oh, you got to meditate. Like, no, maybe you need a group meditation. Right? Might need a bit more of a community thing before you're ready to get that personal and that vulnerable with yourself. It's not that easy.
Yeah.
I can speak to it. You clearly have spoken to it. And it's great to hear that you have hundreds and thousands of people that are realizing that too. And thanks to WeShape and all the platforms you guys are on. So
it's my greatest privilege I've ever done in my life to be able to build a business from the ground up, with knowing that I'm not getting anything from it myself right now. Like, I've committed to take no revenue from this ever for myself, except for if we ever sell the company. So that's the long-term, you know, play there. And then how do I show up for this from that place? I want to walk away every day knowing that somebody came to WeShape and it changed their life. And I want them to stop getting stuck in these toxic weight loss cycles, stop getting stuck in these exercise programs and diets and all this crap, and start learning how to appreciate themselves, connect with themselves, and show up with better intentions and lean into a community who can support them through that.
Well, that was already a positive sum up, but I will say normally I actually ask my guest co-host to help bring the show to a close with any kind of final words. So you definitely hit that. But let me take one step deeper, your theme, right? Every time I hit something,
you let's do it. Let's do it.
Right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Years ago, it was, hey, what are some final words to sum it all up in case they forget about everything else we talked about today? And then through my personal growth, even though it's fuel your health, business, and lifestyle, I realized the mindset was so important. And then further beyond that, I realized it's legacy. So now I ask my guest co-hosts over the past year or two, what is a legacy message? If you had to sum up everything that you and your wife have been doing and what you plan to do moving forward, what is a legacy you would like to leave behind?
I mean, if I'm honest, I've meditated on this a lot, and legacy is not very important to me in terms of whether my name is attached to anything, right?
It doesn't have to be.
I think what I want to stand for is just showing people that it starts with their opinion of themselves, right? What you believe about yourself is what you will do with your life. And if you believe that you're worthless and, you know, you're a failure and you can't do all these things, then like, there you go. That's the life that you're going to end up creating for yourself. And you can believe whatever you want, right? So you can believe all these positive things about yourself, and you can keep training that belief and holding that belief as truth and fortifying that belief through your actions to build it into truth. And that will become your life. So, I mean, it's just their choice, right? What do you want to believe?
Now you see, to me, that is a legacy message. It doesn't have to be your legacy, but the message is very solid. Well said, sir. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hang tight. I want to give you a proper goodbye off the air. Ladies and gentlemen, we talked a lot about mindset. We talked a lot about self-worth. We talked a lot about getting vulnerable with yourself. His legacy message will be in the show notes, as they all are on livethefuel.com when this show airs, and obviously any podcast favorite platform you got out there, YouTube, etc. So I don't need to close the show out. He did it for us, as we always do. So, ladies and gentlemen, remember, Tyler joined us today. Maybe we'll catch up with Katie again soon, but we're here to fuel your health, your business, and your lifestyle. So take that to heart. Maybe go back, listen to the show again. And remember, you too can live the fuel. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.